Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
Could you just stay by my side? It'll be alright. I wanna taste of the other side.
Wow. Just wow. So you are all about to hear an unprecedented episode of It's Fine, I'm Fine, where we invite a man named Jeff with an incredible story on. And just for reference, we didn't really speak much throughout the entire episode because A, we were speechless, and B, we felt that his story was probably a lot greater than what we could have even uttered in those moments.
And we didn't really even need to ask him any questions. He came prepared.
Yep. For a bit of context, Jeff essentially had a near-death experience and ended up completely triumphing over it. And, like, I don't have anything else to say. You have to listen to the episode. We were crying the whole time. But
And I think this is the kind of story that you don't hear every day. Like,
no.
It's not just like someone had a near-death experience and survived.
Right.
He thrived.
Yeah.
And he inspires us so much, and we're so excited for you all to hear his story.
I think a lot of the things that we talk about may be more niche, or you may feel like it might not apply to everyone, but this is just...
The takeaway from the story can be applied to everyone.
Every single person. It's mental health, it's physical health, it's all of it.
Overcoming struggles.
Seriously.
Like being hopeless and then finding...
finding a reason for things that happened to you. So we are incredibly excited for you all to listen, and please give us feedback. We're going to be posting a lot of the content that Jeff talks about throughout the episode. We're just incredibly humbled that he came on, and we hope you enjoy.
Hey, how's it going?
So essentially, I'll let Jeff get into his story, but my friend Ethan Stein's definitely going to be listening to this. I saw, you know, he posted an Insta story about Jeff and his story, and
really resonated with you.
Yeah, I thought it was incredible. So we'll definitely get into that.
But we wanted to invite Jeff on the pod to talk about his story, and we try to be, you know, an inclusive podcast that welcomes all different people and, like, with unique and individual stories. And I think Jeff's story is definitely something that a lot of people could benefit from hearing. So, but without further ado, we definitely want to start with Peak and Pit of the Week. Jeff, do you want to start as the guest of honor? Okay, so start with Pit.
Yeah. Okay, Pit, probably, it happens all the time, but I think I ate my... I think it was your lunch or dinner. I ate it twice. So sometimes I accidentally forget that I ate something, then I'll eat it twice.
There you go.
So that happens with brain injuries, I guess. But yeah.
For sure.
It's not the worst thing, I guess. I was malnutritioned after my hospital stay, so I lost a lot of weight. So it's good that I'm eating more, I guess.
was it good food, at least?
It's probably Thai food. I like Thai food.
So do I. I had some Thai food last night.
They called me the white Thai guy before. All my friends call me the white Thai guy.
Because you're always eating Thai food.
I'm always eating Thai food. Yeah. Yeah, I've been to Thailand like 4 times, so I love it.
Oh, you've been to Thailand 4
times? Yeah, my friend's Thai, so I always go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. And we got lost in last time we went, we rented ATVs and went through the jungle, and it started monsooning, and one of my friend's phone died, and he was lost in the forest, and we were in ATVs trying to find him, and it was a disaster.
Sounds like an adventure.
Yeah.
That sounds like no, same, like.
Literally sounds terrifying.
Yeah. Okay, you have to tell us your peak.
Okay, probably this week, I just went to Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital, and I'm going to be... they're going to start training me to be a peer support aide for traumatic brain injured people. Wow. And I'd probably be the youngest person, because I guess I had peer support aides who'd come once a month to talk to us. And my sister said all I would do is cry when I went. So I don't remember it, but she said, yeah, you just sit there and cry. So hopefully I can provide better. I'm younger and I have a more recent accent than the people that came in. The people that came in with me, I guess they had accents like 15 years ago. So mine's like it's like a year ago. So they said it's going to be really beneficial for them.
Yeah. That's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't think I can really beat that.
No. Now that my mic is actually working, I'm going to talk about my pit and peak of the week, but I don't really think I can follow Jeff's peak. But I would say my pit of the week was this morning. I was really hungover and really tired. And I got out of bed at 1, like right before you got here. So that was probably my pit. Why can't I remember the week? Like, what happened last week?
I don't know. You had a very big weekend, so maybe that's...
I think I had a big weekend, yeah. So that was, I would say my pit was probably just this morning. And then my peak of the week was last night. I went to the Friends of the IDF Gala. Young Leadership Gala, and mm-hmm. It was just a really nice night. Got to dress up, wear a black tie dress, and yeah, really fun times. Fun. Met new people and good stuff.
Okay. I think the pit of my week was having a hard work week and just feeling a little bit challenged by work. And feeling like I wasn't doing a good enough job, but also trying to balance a lot of different things. That's a recurring pit for me. So hopefully I'll come back, I'll circle back on this issue when I have different pits. But my peak of the week was yesterday was our friend, our momager, Alana's birthday. And we had like a lot of fun during the day and got to do a bunch of cool different things. We saw Claudia's show for like the zillionth time, but the peak was definitely like this small part where we took the train to Tarrytown, New York, and it was just like a beautiful ride, and we got to see the sunset, and it was just really special. Wow. So that was really nice.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so I think today we definitely want to hear your story, Jeff. So if you would kind of enlighten us on that, because I think you know it best and you tell it well. So
okay, yeah. September 14th, 2018. I was just running around. I lived in Boston at the time, and I don't know why I did it. No one knows why. I was in Paris, maybe. I don't know. Either Paris, Barcelona. I have absolutely no idea where I was, but I signed up for the New York Marathon, 2018 New York Marathon, and got home, and I started training for the 2018 New York Marathon. And according to my map, my run, which was, I opened it up like 2 months ago, and it was like, or 3 months, I don't remember, 4 months ago, and it was my last run was my accident, and I could see the ambulance taking me to Beth Israel, so it was pretty scary, but yeah.
Real quick, were you a runner beforehand?
I ran the Bay State Marathon in 2016, so I wasn't really a runner. I didn't care. I didn't try to do as many marathons. I did one marathon, and I didn't train for that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's still incredible.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. It said that I was like 14, 15 miles in a run, and then you can see an ambulance carry me to Beth Israel. I was hit by a car at a crosswalk. There's two witnesses. One was a runner behind me, and one was a car. And well, the runner said I got hit, and then I flew off the car and landed on the sidewalk. Then the person in the car said I got hit. My head hit the windshield, and then I flew off the car and then hit my head a second time on the sidewalk into a coma. And then they called the police and emergency vehicles and thought I was dead. And there's a state trooper who's at the scene, and he waited at the hospital. He came to the hospital and was just waiting there for like days because he thought it was a death, so he had to mark it as a death. So he had to.
They actually marked it as one.
No, he's waiting to see if it was a death because he had to like file it as a death. So mm-hmm. He kept asking my parents and everyone, "Is he alive? Like, is he dead? I have to mark it as a death and investigate." So I went to Beth Israel for two. I was in a coma immediately. I went to Beth Israel, and then I had to have a emergency craniectomy by his name is Dr. Herman. I actually just met him. I saw him this week, and I gave him a marathon shirt, and I thanked him and hugged him. And, he, I don't know what his story, I think he was like on vacation. He had to fly in overnight or something crazy. I forgot what happened, but he had to fly in to do the surgery. And he had to, there's so much fluid in my head from the fall that they had to cut a part of my skull out. And then he had to, then I was in the coma. So, or they did an induced coma. I'm not sure. It was partly normal coma and then induced coma for the surgery. And then I was in the coma for 2 weeks. And then when I woke up, I couldn't talk. I couldn't really talk. And my voice was gone until 2 weeks later when they put in a cranioplasty, I believe it's called. It's like a part 3D printed German piece they had to order from Germany. And it was a 3D printed skull piece they put in my skull. And then that's when I started talking again. And then I woke up and they'd come in every day and they'd say, Jeff, where are you? And I was just in like, I was all over the place. I was in Iceland, Thailand. I was all, so many places. I was just like, my Thai friend came to visit me and then they asked me where I was the next day. I was like, I'm in Thailand. I'm in Bangkok. And they're like, no, you're not. And then, yeah, I said I was in Palm Springs, California because I went to a music festival there.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said I was just like everywhere. Paris, Barcelona, and every day they would come in and ask where I was and I would say a vacation place.
Yeah. Do you remember any of this?
No, I don't remember anything from Beth Israel. I remember not much about Spalding either. Only until I did outpatient rehab did I like start doing more stuff that I used to do that my mind started coming back, I guess. I need time. Mm-hmm, this is still too soon. I had no idea where I was. I was on a Euro trip with my then girlfriend and I was considering moving to California without anyone knowing. My parents did not know. My roommates knew and they yelled at me and told me I'm an idiot and not to move to California. And then they all found out after accident that I planned on moving to California. We found out somehow that I was signed up to be like a sperm donor in California.
Oh my God.
A lot of random really weird stuff. Yeah. But supposedly I was going to be a sperm donor, a surf instructor. I have no idea what the hell was going on, but I was going to move to California without anyone knowing.
So it seems like when people were putting together the pieces of your life going on before the accident, it came to fruition that you were planning all these ridiculous things. And that's interesting. The story got told back to you and you're like, who is this person? I don't know.
Yeah. And then, I came back and then the day after I came back was the accident, I believe, or 2 days after I flew back from Paris and then the accident happened. My family hadn't seen me and then they got a call from my roommate, Lucas, and he was like, couldn't speak English. He was just like so rattled. He was just crying, couldn't speak. And they tell me, he like called my parents and was like, Jeff's dead, like basically. And they all rushed to the hospital and I just had the brain surgery. I was in the coma and yeah, it was bad. And then the girlfriend, I never saw her again, and I don't remember anything about her really. So it's not a loss in my opinion. I mean, it could be. I don't know, but I don't really care. I'm over it.
Yeah, I mean, so she didn't like
she,
you.
She
didn't.
She saw me while I was in the coma, but she never came after the coma, and that's the red flag.
I mean, that is that is the biggest red flag.
That's
like no thanks.
Yeah. So then I was at Beth Israel in the coma, and then I woke up, and then I immediately went to. It's one of the best rehab facilities in the world, but Spalding Rehabilitation in Charlestown, Mass. And I did, I think it was like 45. It was pretty fast, but I did like 45 days of PT, learning to walk. They put me on a crane, and right, because I'd fall. So I had to go on a crane to learn how to walk and like crazy machines they had. Wow. And then they let me go. And then the day I got home, I was on seizure medicine at Beth Israel and they didn't taper me off right or something happened. And the day I got home, I think this might have been when I started Spalding, but the day I got home I had a seizure. Oh. And then I was watching a movie with my brother and mom and I immediately just had a seizure. And then I had to get put on seizure medicine, which I'm still on, but it's fine with me. And then after Spalding I moved back home and I did outpatient rehab in Watertown, community rehab care, and it was occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy, and it was like probably 2 to sometimes 4 hours, but it was mainly like 2 hours a day, and I would have a couple sessions, and then they have like group therapy sessions, a coping group is what it's called, and you just meet. It's mainly a lot of stroke people, not many TBIs, but we just talk about our problems or whatever. And then so I did that from like, it was like nine months or so. I ended it July 5th, but I was there from like October to July or something like that, so I was there a while, and they helped a lot. And then I started my personal trainer, Hank, who's a ex, I think he's ex-army. He's crazy, but he's ran ultra marathons. So he's ran like 200 mile marathons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's really crazy. But he got me like to push myself, because I couldn't, like, my whole left body was weaker because of the right head injury. So I couldn't lift my left arm up, and my left toes still don't curl really. Even though I did the marathon, but my left toe is barely curl.
And so I don't think our listeners know
that.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten to the
marathon.
I'll get to that. Yeah. But yeah.
There's a lot to, I want to hear all about that.
Yeah. But Hank, I started him when I started outpatient rehab, and he just had me doing crazy stuff, pushing sleds and just pushing myself, like whatever my other main outpatient rehab was scared of making me do weights or anything that was like
strenuous,
balanced stuff,
too much
stressful.
Yeah.
So, but Hank was just like
he's like, I don't care.
I had what's it called? It was just like a very thick ankle brace, and Hank was like, this is holding Jeff back. He's never gonna be able to run again if he doesn't take this off. And then everyone else at rehab was like, Jeff needs it, and Hank was like, no. And he took it off, and then and then he had me start running and stuff, and then it's just all started. The first day I ran, I was at home. I used to walk in my basement, and I told my parents, come downstairs. and then I put up the speed, and I started running. And then they were like, what the hell? I don't know what happened. I started running, and then we like signed up for the 2019 marathon like a week or two after that. And Hank, and Hank was like, I'm gonna help Jeff do it.
Like Hank was like, you're running the 2019 marathon.
And then my dad called Hank and said Jeff ran for the first time. Hank said, what the hell? And then he said, and Jeff wants to sign up for 2019. You have to help him. And then Hank said, okay, I'll do it.
So what date was that? Do you remember what month or
yeah,
time that was when you signed up?
So let's see. I was probably home like late November, early December. We probably signed up mid-December probably for the 2019 New York Marathon, which is November 3rd, 2019.
Okay. Yeah. So about like 10 or 11 months had to elapse.
And it was like, it was probably, the accident was 9/14, so it was like 3 months after accident maybe. Yeah. And I was in the coma 2 weeks, and then all the crazy rehab, so it was busy. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot in 1 year.
I think a lot of people who didn't go through the accident that you went through probably have a hard time training for the marathon. So it's an incredible feat.
Yeah.
So can I ask you, were your parents, it didn't seem like they were nervous about you signing up for the marathon again, or were they? Do you know?
Yeah, I think they were nervous. They were always, I have a friend who's a Newton police officer, and he luckily ran for me, but it's good to have him because my parents did not trust me to go on the train on Calm Avenue in Massachusetts, or like the big area to run with cars and stuff, because they think I'd get lost, which I probably would, but I used Map My Run, but I probably still would get lost. But I ran with him and my sister, who was a senior at Brown at the time. She was a senior at Brown when I got in the accident. She had to like, I don't know how she graduated, but she had to deal with coming to the hospital and seeing me and then trying to graduate college. So it was crazy for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she trained for the marathon and ran with me. So she's really nice. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. But I eventually, so I started the rehab outpatient, and then I started the PT, and then I started, reading, there's a philosopher, Alan Watts, that I really like. And, I think he's British. I don't know, but he's really good. And a quote that I read, like, it stuck with me the whole recovery. It was, a man does not really begin to be alive until he has lost himself, until he has released the anxious grasp which he normally holds upon his life, his property, his reputation, and position. It is an indescribable truth in the monkish idea of holy poverty, of the way of life in which there are no strings attached, in which, because all is lost, there is nothing to lose, in which there is exhilaration of a kind of freedom which is poetically likened to the birds and the wind, to clouds drifting in the boundless sky. So I heard that quote, I read that quote, and I was like, all right, this is for me, because like all is lost. There's nothing else to lose. So I have to just do everything I wanted to do, and I have to finish this marathon and just begin my life and do, you know, make music. That's what I like doing. So I just my body wasn't as strong as it was before, and my mind wasn't, but I was just like, I started going back to stuff I love. That's my number one lesson, I guess, for recovering from a brain injury is return, do things you used to love, and just take it slow, I guess, but have a good support system. But I went to music school. I had a piano teacher come over and I learned piano.
What don't you do?
I was doing crazy stuff. So yeah, and then I only released a few songs before my accident. I've made music since I was 12 years old, and I think at this moment I have like 100 songs done.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I had to reteach myself how to make music, and then I just spent hours and hours and hours after rehab. I'd go to my studio, close the door. I'd have my probiotic drink. I drink probiotic drinks every day. And I'd have Thai food or whatever, and I'd just go in the studio and make beats all day. I also, after the accident, I lost all my past memories, most of them. I still don't have them. So I call myself the Jeff 2.0. The Jeff 1.0 is that, the pre-accident Jeff. And so I called myself Jeff 2.0, and I had nothing to lose, like going after my dreams or trying to make music or releasing stuff. I had no fears anymore. Music was a big thing, but just returning physically was huge for me. Running was a big thing for me also. But as far as music production, that was fun. But another important thing that I did that I never would have done before my accident is I started reaching out to all my favorite musicians and just telling them, because I'd start listening to the songs during my recovery, and the lyrics or the songs, the beats would touch me in a way. Either maybe I ran to them or they had deeper meanings, and I would reach out to them, tell my accident. And a lot of them were like super nice. And I met like 30 or 40 musicians. Wow. In my recovery. And some, I had some crazy stories.
You're not into the Jonas Brothers, are you?
No. So yeah, this is a funny one. But my first flight, they told me, they're like, I don't know if Jeff can fly. It might be too much altitude. But we flew into Miami to see my grandma. Or not Miami, Florida. We went to Palm Beach, Florida, to West Palm Beach, see my grandma. She died that was the last time I saw her. But I went to Miami with my dad because I wanted to see this guy, Justin Jay. And we went to a beach club in Miami.
No way.
Yeah. And he knew my story because I messaged him, and he played my favorite song, Flowers. And then I ran up to the booth and he finished the set. And then he knew I was, and I go up to him and I go, I'm Jeff. And he goes, holy shit, there's no way you're here. You're dancing, you're having fun. He's like, I'm so proud. And then I cried and he cried and we hug each other and we're both hugging, crying. And my dad comes running over. It's like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, so that was nice. And then there's a couple more important things. I got hit listening to this band Jungle, who are from London. And I knew this because I texted my friend in Chicago that they had the album of the year and that the best song. I sent them this song, Consu Mine. And I told them the album of the year was Jungle. And then 2 minutes later, my accident happened. So I was listening to Jungle when I got hit. And I told Jungle. And I ended up meeting them in Coney Island.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they ended up dedicating the song Cherry to me. And the lyrics, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, the lyrics of that song were, flowers in the garden that won't grow, flowers on the train, it's not the same, flowers in the garden, life won't grow if we never change. So it's like these artists all had songs that have deeper meanings with my accent, I guess, like just the ideas of flowers in the garden that won't grow and the life won't grow if we don't change meant a lot to me. And then Rufus the Soul was my favorite band for like, all my life, like probably since like 2010, 2009, I don't know, but I've loved them forever. And after my coma, I was crazy. I messaged this woman at Warner Brothers, and I was planning so far ahead. It was like maybe 8 months ahead. I was like, I want to meet Rufus the Soul, and like their music has helped me my whole life, and their album just came out, Solace, which means peace in a time of despair. And I was like, this album is my solace. And then I told the Warner Brothers woman my story, and I told her how like their music helped me walk in, all this stuff, crazy stuff, and ended up setting up a meet with them in August. And I told them my story, I read them a note and stuff, just like thanking them, hugging them. And then they ended up dedicating the song Souls to me after I told them what Souls means.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the lyrics were, they also had deep meaning, but it's like, also, I guess, a little bit because of my girlfriend, what happened with my girlfriend, but also just deep meaning. But it's just like the lyrics were, I heard you doing all right. I hope you're happy and I wish you well. It's been a minute since I called you. It's like you don't know me at all. Please don't forget who I am when I'm gone. I hope that you remember me. I get that there's nothing that I could have done, but please don't forget my heart. Please don't forget my heart. So it's pretty, pretty crazy that they chose that song to dedicate to me. But it's crazy that they dedicated a song to me in general. But
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so wait. It sounds like I'm just a little speechless.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't really have anything to say for the first time in my whole life.
We talk a lot, and so we're speechless. But can I ask, so it sounds like you either became spiritual or you were spiritual, or you seem to have a very good grasp on why this happened to you. Like you had a Jeff 1.0 and now a Jeff 2.0. So why?
I guess just like with that quote, like everything was gone. Like after my accident, everything was gone, and all my memories are gone. And I was just like in a wheelchair, and I was just pissed off. So I was just like, "Fuck this!" Like I'm never gonna be the same Jeff I was, but I'm just gonna be stronger. So I just started taking the mindset of just pushing myself, and not being scared of anything, because I already saw the worst. Like, I almost died, so I didn't care at that point. And then I ended up making this mask in rehab. I'll explain in a second, but
we'll post this to our
So the mask basically shows my face with a no bone bandage on the right side of the head, which occurred to me after I had to have the craniectomy. In the background, it's mountains and a path coming from my injury, indicating that recovery from a TBI is like climbing mountains. There's raindrops coming from the mountains onto a flower, which grew from my injury as I started to see traumatic brain injuries, not as injuries, but as a new life story, a flower. My irises are hearts because I still love the same things I used to love prior to the injury. So yeah, that's, I did this for, I think it's some like, unmasking brain injury. So I made this in rehab as a mask, and it's kind of creepy, but I mean, yeah, it's kind of cool though, I guess. Yeah, flowers, like the Justin J story, I don't know, flowers just came a big part of my recovery, just like growing stuff and yeah. So I mean, after the accident, I started coming back to like things I used to love. So I did the music, I lived at Thai food, I'd hang out with my friends, go to concerts. I lost my girlfriend, but I didn't really remember her. I lost my independence. I had to move home, which really sucks, and it still sucks. But I didn't lose, I guess, who I was. I didn't lose my true passions of music and stuff. And I trained for New York City and just pushed myself to be the best chef I could, which was hard because my limitations, like my memory is still not great. I have to keep track of... just like I have a alarm MedSafe for my seizure medicine for lunch, dinner. I had to mark that I took my lunch or dinner medicine, aka just lunch or dinner. But I had to I don't know, my memory's not great, but it's getting better. Another crazy thing, so I met a lot of musicians, but my favorite clothing brand was Noah New York. And I reached out to Brendan, who's the founder, before the marathon. I told him my story, and I told him that I wanted him to design a shirt for my family and doctors and friends to wear during the marathon. And he designed this crazy shirt with a running brain.
Wow. I actually saw the, I saw the shirt. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so that was really nice. I actually just gave, so 2 days ago, I gave my brain surgeon that shirt, and he was like blown away. He's like, this is the coolest shirt ever. I'm going to frame it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, none of this would happen without the story and this accident. Like, I never would have a collaboration with my favorite clothing brand, meet my favorite music artist. Like, I lost a lot, but I gained a lot more from it, I guess. And the main thing that helped with this is my mindset switched at one point, because I wanted to recover myself, because I'm sick of being like pathetic or not being wheelchair bound and stuff like that. But I wanted to recover after I started talking to more people online and in person who have TBIs, and they're like, I couldn't run for years. Like, how are you running? And so I wanted to start becoming a source of inspiration for these people and their families. So I started reaching out to helping them, telling them my stories. And I started to try to push for the New York Marathon to prove to myself that I could do it, but also prove to the millions of like Americans who have TBIs that anything is possible. I couldn't walk a year ago. I ran a New York City Marathon a year later. And that's why I wanted to prove by doing the New York Marathon.
That's so awesome. And honestly, like, not even runners, but you definitely inspire people, like, in any situation, any types of stories. Like, you inspire me, you inspire Liz. Yeah. Like, it's truly incredible. Were you, like, when the New York City Marathon was coming up, how were you feeling? Were you just like, let's go, let's do this?
No. I knew I was going to be, I knew I probably either wouldn't get a lot of sleep or I'd freak the fuck out. So I wrote a note to myself as Jeff 1.0 to read to myself the morning of the race. And
original race were going to run.
No. No, as Jeff 1.0 to myself the morning of the new race.
Oh, okay. I see.
Let me see if I can find that. Oh yeah, I have it here. Okay. Hey, Jeff 2.0 is Jeff 1.0.
Did you become 2.0 after the marathon?
After the accident.
Oh, after the accident. Okay. Okay. So when did you write this?
I wrote this like a week before the marathon.
The first marathon.
No, new one.
But you were embodying old Jeff to write yourself.
Sorry.
So yeah, this is for before the 2019 marathon. I wrote a note to myself as the pre-accident Jeff.
I see.
Hey, Jeff 2.0 is Jeff 1.0. I know it's race day and you were scared of facing what almost killed you. Not finishing it and failing, scared of seizures, scared of random body numbness due to brain injury, your left toe's not working, but you were given a second chance to finish what we started and put a beautiful end to this part of our lives. Do this for me, do this for you, do this for your family, do this for the 1.5 million people who have TBIs per year, and your story will give them light in the darkness they are in. Be the hope and the motivation for people that have lost both because of brain injury. 26.2, that's it. You'll be sore. Hell, you'll probably not walk after. But there's always Pad Thai waiting with your name on it. 5-star spice to help recover you. You can do this and you will do this. You didn't waste a year of your life and lose most of your memories to not feel that medal. Keep pushing. There are thousands of us rooting for you today on Earth and even your grandparents in heaven. Go Japlin, go. Japlin's my DJ name, my production name. P.S. Whenever in doubt, pull up this note and breathe in and think of the end result. Envision the success. Nobody said it was going to be easy. You got this. We're all with you. And just imagine sitting on your surfboard in the calmest waves after going through the greatest storm known to man. Today is your day and you ran over 550 miles to prepare for this measly 26.2 miles. A car that weighed 3,150 pounds hit you 37 miles per hour and look at you now. You may have lost pieces of your past and memory, but Japlin, you've won the biggest hearts of anyone we know. You are strong and you will run great. If you can overcome the challenges to get ready for this marathon and get to that finish line, it will change your life. Now join the 52,000 runners. Go Japlin, go. Cross that finish line. All right, let's go. I'm freaking the fuck out. And I read that to myself the morning of, and then I did freak out, but then I did it.
That is, I don't even have words. I'm just crying. Either, yeah. That's so incredible.
I don't know what to say. I'm a little emotional. That's just an incredible story. And I think also, like, as we were saying before you read that note, like, yeah, we have listeners who maybe go through similar things with family members who go through nothing like this.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that they can hear your story and take away something, because, you know, even if they're not, can you also, can you tell us what TBI is? Because I don't know. Yeah, I'm
traumatic,
assuming.
Traumatic brain injury. I had a, I had a traumatic brain injury with a Glasgow coma scale of 3, I believe, which is the lowest, the worst score you can have. It's like the deepest coma before death. And I had that. So it wasn't good.
Okay. You're, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
No, I don't have anything.
Yeah. I just, like, so have your parents just been, like, telling you stories about your life and, you know, reminding you of everything that happened?
If I get cues, memory cues, I sometimes don't remember it. But, like they'll, I remember very, very random stuff. Like, I went to Iceland and surfed with these Arctic surfers. I remember his name is Ingo. I don't know
who
how
are
I know.
You? I don't know. No, I'm saying that in like a, you're like unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
So I remember this guy's name's Ingo. I remember the sushi chef in Japan. His name is Mizuta. I remember stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I won't remember what I ate for lunch yesterday. Like, I don't remember. I just remember the most random things, but I guess they're significant or funny to me, so I remember them. And it deleted everything that I didn't really need to have, I guess. So I have a new hard drive.
It's incredible. Wow. That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I don't even have words.
So your daily life, like, what does that look like? Are you making music?
You're in rehab? So I was in rehab and I left July 5th. And then now I have occasional checkups with doctors, like every 6 months or whatever. One of them discharged me. The surgeon discharged me, but I still saw him to give him the shirt. I guess I'm doing just music and I have my personal trainer, Hank, once or twice a week. And then I do Equinox Precision Run classes, which is like the oxygen filled rooms and a lot of incline and stuff just to keep fit. And then I work out. I'm becoming the peer support aide.
Yeah.
So that's going to be soon. But then I'm also, the next step I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get the okay or just try to get them involved. I'm trying to get Love Your Brain involved and also Spalding involved. I met with Spalding and she said, since I'm going to be aide, they'll probably help me with it. But I'm trying to start a running club. Equinox already said they'd do it. They'd give me the space and they'd have teachers. But I'm trying to do a running club called Running for Attention. It would be for traumatic brain injury, depression, anxiety, everything head related. And it would be a running class followed by yoga. For people who can't run, it would be just yoga in one room running.
You need a yoga teacher. I'm there.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be, it would be like the Love Your Brain yoga in one room. And then there'd be the running in the other room in the Precision Run Lab. And then after that would follow with, probably Thai food or who knows. Thai food and then discussions. Like
a full service fitness
center. It'd be like discussion questions. Like maybe you'd have a discussion question from a week before and you come in with the answers to that question. But a lot of people that I've talked to said they wanted to. Like TBI people said one thing I didn't have is another person with a TBI who was doing the same thing as me. Like no one that I talked to did anything even remotely crazy as what I did. Like no one went to like 100 concerts. No one tried to do a marathon. No one I talked to has done all this crazy stuff. I even tried the skateboard again and they took my helmet away and said no, Jeff. Yeah,
oh my gosh.
And then we got this really intense helmet and the guy gave me a hammer in front of my parents. He's like, Jeff can hit his head, it's that strong. And my parents like, no, he's still not doing it. But we bought the helmet, so we'll see down the line.
Next year you're gonna be like the skateboarding competition of the like of the century.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm honestly, I don't even speechless. Have words for you. Do you talk about your story a lot? Like who, when did you start talking about it? Like when did you start, were you comfortable opening up about it right away or?
No, probably when I got released, probably July, when I got released from rehab and I was just like done with that. I guess rehab was kind of, it was kind of depressing a little bit. There's a lot of people were just like strokes or they weren't TBIs, but there were just some TBIs, concussion, but they were in way worse shape than me, and there's no one's relatable to me. There's a couple younger kids, but they were in bad shape.
Right.
So that wasn't fun, really. So once I got that done, I was back home and I saw my friends more, and then I started reaching out to people more online or just in any platform, like friends or anything. I'd tell my I'm training for marathon, or I'd tell them to come to marathon. Once I finished the marathon, I think I'm now open to talk about anything. I just need to finish it to prove to myself, right, and I just need to get out of the way, because if I didn't finish the marathon, I'd be depressed. I'd be pissed.
Right. But now you feel like good. You can talk about it, and you're just like, I'm sure you want to tell people, like, this is what happened to me, and I just ran the marathon. So anyone can pretty much do anything.
And I remember there was, I think I was in a running Reddit or something. I was asking for a compression sock for my left foot because of my ankle's weak. And I told my story, and, like, it blew up. And then some guy was like, you shouldn't run the marathon. Like, you're not, like, it's too soon. Like, you shouldn't run it. And I was like, fuck this, I'm running.
It made you want to do it even more.
For sure. I had to prove to that one guy who said that. Right. Yeah, I was thinking about
Jimmy
him,
Bob.
Too. Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy.
Hateful runner one.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
So, and then, I mean, as far as running, I wanted to do... I'm probably going to do Boston in the future, but only if I can run for Beth Israel, which is the hospital that did my brain surgery. I can run for them. They actually emailed my parents, and they said they're trying to find runners. And my dad's like, I'm not showing Jeff this. He's going to want to run the marathon. and I did, but it was too late. But yeah, I'm probably run Boston if I can do it for Beth Israel and raise money for the Beth Israel Hospital, where I had brain surgeries.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then... my sister wants to do like a Disney half marathon because my family's huge Disney people. So
she
wants to go to Disney World and run a half marathon. I'll do that, but nothing crazy.
Oh, yeah, nothing crazy. Nothing just a half. Yeah. Just 13. NBD.
Yeah, yeah. My trainer didn't even sweat. Like, he's ran like 150 miles. He's a psycho.
He runs 26 miles. He's like, why are you sweating?
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
He brings a drill to drill his legs before the marathon. Like, he was just literally drilling himself.
I'm sorry.
What?
He has a drill, this massage drill. Like,
I thought you meant like he a tool. Like a hole. Yeah. No. I was like, maybe he shouldn't.
Every time we do a long run, he'd just be like drilling our legs. We made a joke out of it, but it was funny.
And do you still talk to Hank?
Yeah, I have him once a week, once every 2 weeks at least. And I mean, eventually, I'll probably not see him as much, but I want to start lifting more and stuff. I'm definitely weaker than I was before. Luckily they said I was in really good shape before the accident. I was in really good shape.
You were 15 miles
in. Yeah. and they said that I used my I have scars on my like arm, but they said I used my left arm or just my arms to stop the fall a little bit or against the windshield, and that stopped the accident from being a death probably.
Wow.
So yeah, I used my arms to prevent a little bit, but it still was bad.
I want to ask Jeff, do you have anything you want to leave our listeners with? Do you have any final words of advice or inspiration for them?
If it hasn't
already happened yet.
I don't know. I guess just I think just the key to everything is just like do stuff you love and just think about like stuff that you do every day. Do you really like it? Like, do you just do it because you do it? And it's a habit, or do you actually like it? Like, do you like drinking coffee? Probably, but I mean, just like, yeah. I mean, do you like going to work every day? Probably not. It just depends. Maybe you're in the wrong job. Just do stuff that you love. And if you actually do like it and you continue doing it, it'll help your everything in life. So yeah, do things you love and just have people that actually are a good support system. If anyone's bringing you down in any way, just cut them out of your life. And just, even though it's hard to do, a lot of people don't do it, but just have the best support system, family, friends, and just make habits, good habits. That's all I can give, I guess.
Wow. Well, all I can really say is thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege that you were here.
Yeah, seriously. It's like truly an honor. I really appreciate it. Just so our listeners know, like, Jeff doesn't even live in New York City. You live in Boston. So we literally, like, a month ago, like, snagged this time. Yeah. And we were like, please. So, like, seriously, really appreciate you coming and telling your story. And yeah. I know that so many people are going to feel so inspired, so touched, and just, like, so happy to hear you and, you know, see how you're doing. And that's, I'm just so excited.
Me too.
To have met you. And yeah. I can't wait to see what else you do. I'm going to listen to your music, like, right after this.
Yeah. Totally.
Are you on Spotify?
SoundCloud, Japlin. I got SoundCloud. Japlin.
You got to get on that Spotify.
I know.
Oh, God. I tell him one thing. He's going to, like, be the next number one.
I know.
Like, be on Spotify. He's like, say no more.
Yeah, I know.
Wins a Grammy next year. Well, thank you so much. Where can people follow you? Do you want followers?
Sure. Yeah. It's just Instagram is Japlin, Japlin Music. It's at Japlin Music. And that's probably the best way.
Okay.
And I think I have the running for attention thing. I think I made an Instagram, but we haven't started it yet. But you can follow it. It's called at running for attention. That's all it is.
Awesome.
It's just gonna be. I wrote the description of community love and wellness, running to spread awareness about TBI, ADHD, depression, anxiety, and the positive effects of exercise and all. So that's going to be down the line, but if you can follow it, running for attention.
Absolutely.
We got you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was an honor, and we're so excited for people to listen.
Yes. Everyone follow him.
Yeah.
Bye.